So today what we're talking about is how to get the best from business partnerships. And that's not only husband and wife teams, that's certainly part of it, or husband, wife, spouse, significant other. Get some zinc in you. Thanks, Sally. Yeah, I've been taking garlic and all sorts of stuff. But also business partnerships where you may not be related. So it's more just from a business perspective as well. So what we're going to do today is look at, you know, why you might do it, how to get the best out of it, how to make them work well. So just to kick off, love to hear from you guys. What would you like to learn about this topic today? What would be most helpful to learn? Just put down in the chat box maybe some of the challenges you'd like to get on top of, or maybe you're thinking of getting into a partnership, some things you might like to know. So I'd just like to hear from you. Just put it in the question box. What would you like to learn from today's session that would make it most helpful for you? If you haven't been on a webinar before, there's a little space where you can put your questions in and we can just read them out. So just take 30 seconds to put those in now and we just go through what comes up. Manny's put, we can do this. Is that a reference to the election, or is that like your partnership, Mandy? Not sure. Trish, offering staff shareholding? Cool, okay. Radar, yeah, thanks, Radar. Awesome. Sally, keeping tips on keeping business separate from personal life when married to your business partner. I'm sure that question is echoed. How to actually work well with your business partner / life partner, Amanda, yep. Lines of responsibility, how decision-making works, specific roles, etc. Ricardo, awesome, thank you. Joe, division of responsibility, general tips on how to make partnerships work. Jim, how to successfully work together with a spouse to separate business and personal. Awesome. Kirsty, who does what? If husband and wife, who should be directors of the company, both or just one person? Good question. Alrighty. So some interesting questions there, some of which we'll definitely be focusing on during today's session as well. Welcome in, Eddie. Good to have you on board. Kathy, I'm not sure if it's you or Eddie. Callum, good to have you on board, mate. How you doing? Okay. Hey, Eddie and Kathy. Awesome, guys. Okay, cool. So let's jump in. Look, what happens today? If you don't get this right, so maybe you don't have your partnership set up right, whether it's with a business partner or with your, you know, spouse or significant other, or if you maybe aren't in a partnership and it's something you're not considering as well, you haven't really thought about it, what could the potential problem be or problems? Well, I think the first one is, it's probably quite obvious in a way, and a really real challenge is, hey, do you actually just feel alone? You feel like it's you against the world. Now, sometimes running a business is plain just lonely. It's hard work. There's no one to bounce ideas off. Your mates who might be in the trades as well maybe don't really talk about some of the nitty-gritty issues, pricing and profitability and that sort of stuff. Maybe you don't want to let your guard down because you feel a bit, maybe it gives the impression that you're not coping. There's no one to bounce ideas off, and there's no one who really understands what it's like to own a business, because it's different. It's different than being an employee. There are, you know, the emotional challenges, the mental challenges, the feeling unappreciated by your staff, by your clients, by pretty much everyone, because they just don't get it. And that's certainly part of the thing that I, you know, find talking with our team and you guys, is that a lot of people just don't feel appreciated. So being alone is definitely one of the problems. And if you're in a partnership as well, it's not working well, that can feel pretty lonely as well. Or maybe your business is short on skills. So what can often happen is, as a business owner, you're really good at some things, but you're not so good at others. And that's pretty normal. So for instance, and this often happens, you might be great at relationships and new ideas and quite innovative and forward thinking, but you struggle to get things implemented. So you've got lots of cool ideas, but there's a bunch of chaos behind you. Or it might be the other way around. You're really good at organizing things and doing a great job on the projects, but you lack a little bit of that get up and go in terms of confidence to actually push yourself out there and push the business forward. You know you need to, but it's just not quite so natural for you. So it could be either one of those things. Maybe you're just plain exhausted. So you've run out of steam, nights and weekends of work have added up, you've lost motivation, energy and focus, and it just feels a little bit too much. Or perhaps if you are in a partnership, it's frustrating, whether it's with your spouse, partner, significant other, or a business partner, and it feels like being trapped in a bad relationship. Well, it's exactly actually like being trapped in a bad relationship, and it can cause friction, particularly if it's with your wife or husband, if that business relationship is not working well, which is obviously not ideal. So those are some of the challenges that we see. The opportunity is huge for business partnerships. I'm a huge fan of partnerships. I think they're a great idea if done right. So first thing is, look, if you've got some other people involved, then you can have you can feel a lot more supported. So the old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved. You've got someone in your corner who understands the challenges of running the business, and the business can actually continue on without you having to necessarily be there all the time. And a great example is one of our board members, Graham and Nigel from Swift Fix Plumbing. They've just formed a partnership over the last few months. And Nigel, we're talking during a session we had during the week. Nigel said, hey, I was going away last weekend. At lunchtime on Friday, there were a whole bunch of loose ends that weren't tied up, and it was fantastic. I could just hand them over to Graham, and I knew that they were covered. So you can really feel supported, which is epic. And in relationships with your partner as well, your life partner. Skills. You can get access to skills that you don't necessarily have. So a great example is another one of our board members, Mark Watkins and Bevan from Advanced Plumbing. So Mark is very entrepreneurial, makes a lot of stuff happen, but Bevan's the glue that sticks the business together. He runs the operations, and together it's a great team. One without the other just would not have the same impact. It would be either chaos or a lack of growth, but together it's a great fit. Bigger and better. It's kind of like what I said before. Sometimes the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So you can get some synergies out of being in a team that just don't happen being alone. And one of the reasons that I thought this was a really important topic is so many of the people who have been through our Million Dollar Trading Program and you guys on board at the moment are in partnerships. Heaps. It's a huge majority, sort of 65 to 70%, which is fascinating. So that's why I guess today's topic is super important. And here's just some pictures of some. A lot are husband and wife relationships, and some are business partners as well who aren't family. Kerry, good to have you on board, buddy. Nice work on the office person. And Charlotte and Rod from Sharp Plumbing. Great to have you on board, team. Okay, so we've got a few questions there. We might just come back to some of those as we go through. There are five principles that I think are really helpful when we think about partnerships. Five things to think about to get the best out of being in a partnership. The first one is interesting. Now, as I said, I'm a huge believer in the power of partnerships, seen them work fantastically well for our members and other friends and colleagues who are in business. So right from the get-go, I'm an advocate. I think it's a great idea if you can make it work. However, one thing I would say, it is, and this is a photo of him and her back-to-back and bum-to-bum in bed, things not going quite so well. Like any relationship, it's much better to be miserable alone than to be miserable together. So they are not for everyone, and they're not for every situation. There are some people who perhaps aren't set out to be in a partnership. For instance, people who are perhaps really high Ds on the DISC profile or really like to have control, maybe they might find it a bit more challenging. So that's one thing. It's from a husband and wife perspective, if one of the parties is kind of doing it under duress, then that's not a good idea either. And I can think of a member of our program. I'll use, let's call them Tony and Brendan. So Brendan wanted support, needed support, and kind of Tony helped out, but she hated it. It was a total disaster. Started impacting their relationship, and things worked much better when they actually got outside help. So it's not for everyone. Better to be miserable alone and make sure that it's going to be a positive thing from the get-go rather than just doing it because it's a great idea. Second thing is, in a partnership, obviously I think two heads can definitely be better than one. I just mentioned that before. There's a definite synergy that a partnership can bring. And on many levels. So for instance, in partnerships, and some of the members of the program have multiple locations. So for instance, James and David and Martin from Client Benny have multiple locations and they have business partners. That's kind of a way of getting some skin in the game for people at different sites. That's a great way. It's also powerful, I guess, from the mental and the emotional side. And I think that's not something we talk about a lot, but it's very critical to get the head in the right space. So staying focused, not feeling overwhelmed, feeling supported, having someone to talk to, share ideas with, bounce things off, pick up the slack when you're not in a good space, I think is a massive, massive benefit. And then from a practical perspective, it's much easier to get away on holidays if you've got some other people who have skin in the game in the business. This may not necessarily work for husbands and wife, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but it can be, from a practical perspective, just make life a whole lot more easy. And lastly, you've got two heads. You can cover more ground, plain and simple. You can look at more opportunities and add more ideas into the mix with the business. So I think two heads, definitely very powerful. The next thing is, if you're going to be in a partnership, it's obviously something that has to work for everyone. And it's critical that there is a real mutual benefit. So both parties need to get something out of it. Now, you'd be surprised how many people think about getting into a partnership, maybe because they're scared of losing a good employee. They desperately need help in the office, so they kind of beg wife, partner, significant other to help them out, without really thinking about the impact that it might have on the other person or the other person's willingness or ability or interest in actually being involved. So is it actually the best option? And as an aside, if you're talking about husband and wife relationships or partner relationships, business partnership with your spouse is only ever going to make the relationship more of what it already is, in my experience. So if it's good and you both want to be involved, it's probably going to improve the relationship. You'll get a lot of energy and enjoyment out of working on something together. But vice versa, if you've got a few issues, a few challenges, and you put the added pressure of a partnership, business partnership on it, it can have the opposite effect. Okay, fourth principle, transparency. I think this is crucial. once you have partners involved in the business, and particularly people who aren't family, the business is no longer just about you. So your business really needs to be a separate entity to you. And that's where keeping score, your financial management, all that sort of stuff becomes really, really critical. So you can't, you can no longer use the business as a personal bank account or a private bank account where you just take drawings whenever you feel like. If you need to get some finance for some investing or something else, you can use the business as a vehicle to do that. You can't really do that when you've got other business partners involved. So you do potentially lose some flexibility. So you've got to make sure that that works in your situation. Can't use it as a personal bank anymore. And I think this is critical. If you have a family member involved, wife, partner, daughter, son, whatever, it's absolutely critical that you pay them appropriate wage for what they do, you know, a fair market wage. Otherwise, it's kind of weird. And that transparency helps us see that the business is actually running as a business should as well. Just give me a hands up if that makes sense, team. Tamari, I've been pulled up on the personal bank. Nice. Just give me a hands up if that transparency thing makes sense. Very important that it, the business, from a mindset perspective, is not about me anymore. It's something else that's over here that we work on. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Okay. And fifth thing, hey, it's business. Now, partnerships that succeed, like any business, actually require, you know, degree of professionalism. And it kind of links in with the transparency side of things. So there are really three key roles in a business. There's the director or directors who set the strategy for the business. There's the shareholders, and they're the owners of the business. So they effectively put money or time into the business and own a percentage of the shares. And then there's employees who work in the business. Now, for most of us, we'll have, you know, one, two, or three of those roles in the same business. But they are actually different roles. And as you create partnerships, it becomes more important. So the shareholder's role, they've put money in or you know, invested their sweat equity to get shares. So they actually want a return on their investment, just like you'd buy shares in a business on the stock exchange. You want a dividend. And ideally, you'd like the value of the company to go up so your shares are worth more. Now, director's job is to figure out the best strategy to help the shareholders get their return. It's about strategy. And employees are about implementing that strategy, so they actually do the work themselves. So the key thing is, as a shareholder, you want a return, but you're also an employee and you'll get a wage salary out of the business as well. It's just that you've got multiple roles. So for me, partnership, the goal should be about improving, you know, both your and your partner's financial situation, the time, the stress, and making business more fun. You don't just do it because it sounds like fun. Okay, so team, I'd just like to hear from you just through those principles. What's been most valuable lesson so far, or something that's stuck in your mind about, hey, that's actually interesting, hadn't thought about it like that? And a husband and wife partnership, is it better strategy to have one director and two shareholders or both as directors? Look, that question's come up a few times. It's a really interesting question, team. The thing about directors is they often carry some risk, so they have to sign a whole lot more stuff. So in some ways, it might be better to have one director, but it's not necessarily a major thing because there's a little bit of risk with being a director. So it's probably a legal thing to sort out, to depending on the situation that you have in your business. But a lot of shareholders aren't directors. You don't have to be a director. Jim said, would be increasingly interesting in growth. Yep, the transparency point. I think that's critical, Tamari, helps separation of business and personal. Yep. Both for partners who aren't family members and those who are, I think if you can create more transparency that's huge. Brian, Erica and William, transparency is really important. Yeah, huge. And particularly in your situation, you kind of family as well as you know, life partners for some of you. So that's huge. Yep. So just jot down, team, what's most valuable, any insights that you've had, and we can share those around. All right. Fantastic. Okay, let's talk about how to make this work. Oh, sorry, one question. Mandy said, if two heads are better than one, then four heads must be awesome. So Mandy and Radar and the team there have got four partners in their business. Okay. So just going to, we're going to talk a little bit about Callum just said, can relate to everything you've said. Couple partnerships, very hard unless on the same page, for sure. Massive. And we're going to talk about that a little bit now. Just going to fire up the iPad here because I want to just draw a little bit of something. Okay, there we go. No, we don't want Facebook. We want that. Okay, here we go. Alrighty. So, let's jump in and talk about how to actually make this work. Talked about a few principles in the background, but how to actually make it work. For me, there's three key things. And they look a bit like this. It's a bit of a wonky triangle. We might just make that a little bit down there. First part is what I call so, and that's what you do before the partnership. That's the preparation, that is preparing the ground and planting the seeds. So we're going to talk about some aspects to that, and it's critical that you do the groundwork, because my experience is that most partnerships struggle because they weren't set up right at the start. The next part is how we grow the partnership. So that's really what happens during the partnership. How to get the best out of it as we go through. So that's one, two, and three is what I call harvest. So that's about the exit strategy. Now the reason that a lot of people may not get into partnerships is because they're scared of them breaking up. Or not working out, or what's the point, how does it all finish up? So we need to be really clear about how that's going to work. So ideally, when we come to the time to finish it up or harvest, that it's been a benefit to everyone, everyone's you know, had an advantage from. So three parts we'll go through, so, grow, and harvest. In terms of sowing, well, like I said, that's before. And really the five P's apply here. Prior planning prevents poor performance. So without a solid foundation, the problems and the pressures or stresses of business and general life, if you're in a husband-wife relationship, the cracks can often do turn into giant holes. They get put under pressure and the cracks just grow. So for me, with both relationships, the problems are actually there at the start often. We may not be aware of it, but they can be. So it's about getting it right from the get-go. spending a little bit more time on the preparation to set ourselves up for success. Just like hiring someone in your business, spending more time on that process of due diligence, I think, is critical. So there's seven points that I'm just going to go through that'll help you set up for success and sow the seeds correctly. Now, if you're not in a partnership now, you want to do these things. If you are in a partnership and you haven't done some of them, hey, it's never too late. You probably want to go and look at some of these things, because obviously you can always reset the clock and set yourself up for even better success in the future. So number one is why. And it's really critical to get clear on what you come from and why you're actually in the partnership. And I'd actually be really keen to hear from you guys. What are some reasons? Let's write them all down. What are some reasons right now? Let's put them in the chat box that you would think might be good reasons to get into a business partnership, or reasons that you've thought about might be helpful in terms of getting in a partnership. Just pop them in the chat box so we can read them out. I'll give you maybe 20 seconds. Just write down what you think. You know, might be good reasons why we should get into a partnership. Jim, workload distribution and new ideas. Yeah, fantastic. Kirsty, workload get too busy, need help. Yeah, sharing the load, Gareth and Rachel, for sure. Share the load and skills, Amanda. Yep, share responsibilities, Amanda. Yep. Rod and Charlotte, take a load off, building the future together, so common goals, brilliant. Division of labour, share ideas and support, Joe, interesting. To share the business, to progress the business will really make my job into a business, Tumidy, yeah, great. Grow the business, Mandy, support and growth, Johnny. Maximising our combined potential, Ricardo, yep. I had different skills to be utilised, Kirsty, brilliant. Guy, Erica and William, sharing the load and share the highs and lows, yeah, that's a good one. Spread the workload, more knowledge, Kirsty. Yep. Jonathan, share responsibilities, help grow the business. Joe, make business more enjoyable, for sure. Okay, fantastic. Good list. Some interesting ones that aren't on there. Things like succession planning might be something. Tax splitting was the original reason why Anne and I, then directors as we grew, then larger. Now we look at staff becomes the issue. Okay, cool. Graham Michelle, bring a different perspective, introducing new skills not based on the technical part of the job. Awesome. Fantastic. Great ideas. Appreciate that, guys. Good stuff. So I think the why is important. Why are we actually doing this? Now, a lot of the ideas that I mentioned, interestingly there, are ideas that could be solved by a partnership, but getting more help, sharing skills, getting more expertise. Those can also be solved by hiring people as well, often too. So that might be a reason to get a partnership, but it might also be a reason to get some more help outside of partnership. So got to be really clear on the why we're doing this. And I think part of the why is all of those things might also be maybe succession planning, other people with skin in the game as well. So the why is important. The next thing is critical. Vision and values. So one of the biggest, causes of breakdown in relationships or business relationships or just general life relationships is a difference in vision and values. So I've heard someone say, and it's probably my experience too, is and I'm happily married, have a great wife, great relationship, but when you get married you don't really understand probably the importance of the vision that you have and how important it is that you have some commonalities there. Most of us are lucky and there is some commonalities. Some of us are unlucky and there's not. As time goes on, becomes more of a challenge. Same thing's going to happen in business relationship. For long-term success, we need our vision for how we see the business overlapping to a reasonable extent. It's never going to be the same, but to an extent that's big enough to make it work. And then values are critical. So values are about how we see the world. What we see is important, and that's going to really guide our behavior and our decision making. So when you get into a business relationship, do your values actually coordinate with the people that you're getting into business with? For example, actually, team, just write down, take a moment now, what are some values that you think would be really important to share with your business partners? Just write them down. Some areas of values that I think are really critical to have a common interest in. Just pop it in the chat box. What areas are really important for your values to be aligned? Being successful, Tamati, yeah, or what success means, for sure. Honesty in business, sure. Long-term success. Honesty, Mandy, yep. Integrity, sure. So what are some other areas that are common goals, Joe? Yep, for sure. Yep. And what areas are is it important for those goals to be common? Quality service? Yeah, what does quality service mean? Trust, goal accomplishment, Eddie? Yep. Professionalism, respect, and consistency, Jason? Yep, thanks, mate. Hope you're feeling better too, by the way. Work-life balance. That is a huge one, a brilliant one, Glyn, Erica, and William. So what's your attitude, husband and wife and business partners, to work? Does one have an expectation that you need to work every hour under the sun? Does another person have the expectation that, hey, we work hard as 9 to 5, but then that's it? That can cause a lot of tension. End state, where's this all going to take us, Joe? Perfect. Open communication, Kalman, yep, awesome, thanks, mate. So they're all good stuff. There's a couple of other things that I think are really important. So Guy and Erica mentioned one. What's your attitude to work-life balance? Are you just a work person or are you a work and play person? Because if you're in a partnership, those and they're not aligned, that can create some serious tension, because one party could be thinking that you're not pulling your weight. The other party's like, hey, you're just a killjoy and you're no fun. Another area for you to be really clear on is your tolerance for risk. So this is huge. How comfortable are you taking risks? And how does that match up with your business partner? Because if one of you is a risk taker and one of you is really risk averse, that can create some tensions. Can also be a good thing because you could balance each other out. So that's something to really think about and be aware of. The other thing is I think is hugely important is two other things. What's your attitude to learning? So is the person that you're in partnership, if you're a really growth-orientated person, and this applies in all relationships, if you're a person who wants to grow and develop and always improve versus you're a person who's just really happy with the status quo and finds all that kind of growth stuff a little bit overwhelming, that can create a lot of tension. And the third thing is, what's your attitude to money and spending? So that's a huge issue in all relationships, but particularly in business relationships. If one person's a little bit looser and happy to spend and the other person's a little bit more careful, then that can be an area that you need to be really clear on the values that you have. Does that make sense, team? So attitude to work-life balance, attitude to finances, attitude to risk, attitude to learning. Key areas to be comfortable that you're on the same page. Is it fun? That's the next one. I think this is critical. Are you just going to have fun? This must be fun. So do you like each other? Do you have a good history together? It might be that you train together with your business partner, you've worked in the same business. As I said, Graham and Nigel. Graham used to employ Nigel. Nigel went out on his own. They've got together, got their heads together now, which is obviously got a shared history and enjoy working together. Callum just said risk is a biggie. Risk issues, huge, hugely important to get a handle on your understanding of risk. So it's got to be fun. It has to be fun. And that means typically the people you get into business with, you've had some background with. You know that they're people you enjoy hanging with. Next one is skill set. Do you actually have a complementary skill set? Do you fit well together? Now, if you both love pain and want to do all the pricing and stuff, well, that might not work. You probably need to share that stuff out. But great combinations might be the extrovert who's good at the relationship building and is the go-getter, and then you've got the more introverted person who's better at the planning, the organising, and keeping the home fires burning, kind of the yin and the yang. This is a huge one for husbands and wives, and one of the key areas of tension that I see. Someone's put frozen. If you can see and hear us, just give us a hands up, please. Yay, we're back. No worries, Rachel. So with husbands and wives, now, this is not always the case, but often the husband is the tradesperson who is kind of in the business initially, wants some help from wife, partner, significant other. And, you know, do they actually have the roles, the skills that are needed to do the job? That's a really important question. You know, if you want someone to help with marketing, do you have the skills to do that? Without the skills or you know, generally the obviously a willingness to learn them as well, that's a pretty critical part of setting it up for success. Because often what I've found is sometimes maybe the husband is so stressed out, they just can give a hospital pass to the wife or partner who maybe just doesn't have the skills or the inclination to actually be involved. So it's very important to be honest about that up front, the skill set. Skin in the game. For me, this is huge. So if you're life partners, obviously you've got skin in the game together, financial skin in the game. This is what we're talking about, financial skin in the game. If you're getting into partnership with someone who's not family, I firmly believe they need to have contributed financially in some way to the shares that they have. And that really helps change the dynamic from an employee to a shareholder. So, you know, they need to be able to get some capital together to buy the shares. Now, sometimes you can fund the share purchase through profits, and that's great. I think that's cool, but I think initially there still needs to be some skin in the game. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Like I said, it changes the mindset from employee to shareholder, so there's something at stake, which drives motivation. And two, it also qualifies people. So the right people should be in a position financially to make a dollar contribution. If they're not, you probably have to ask some questions about, you know, about how they've managed their financial situation and are they really the right people to get involved with. Plus, I think it's great to use the offer of partnership as a carrot to hire someone. Potentially we've had a number of our members use that as a carrot to hire and get really skilled people. But that option is something that you'd want to exercise it after a satisfactory period of employment. Probably more than 90 days so you can figure out the values, the skill set, etc. Due diligence. It's basically doing your detective work. So for business partners, you really should check this out. Check out their, you know, relationship status, family status, because obviously relationship breakdown at their end can be a massive impact on the business if there needs to be changes of assets, etc. So you really want to think about that. Their financial health, you know, if you're bringing a business partner in, you'd really want to make sure that they're pretty clean financially, past issues, etc., bankruptcies, whatever. You'd want to understand any of that stuff. And if you're buying into a business, you'd want to know about the position of the business. So it's debts, past profits, any past issues, and getting your accountant to actually go through that stuff and seeing what it's like. So you know warts and all what you're getting into. And then lastly, paperwork. So this is number 7. It's crucial that you've got all the legal aspects covered off for a partnership, particularly, it's not a prenuptial partnership for your marriage, but a paperwork for your business partnership. You need a shareholders agreement prior to kicking off. And that's where you lock down how things work. So that's the rule book for how the partnership is going to be conducted. Now, it's a legal and financial thing. So it is something that if we're going down that path, you want to talk to a solicitor about putting that together. And that's where you have the hard conversations beforehand about how profits are going to be shared, how you're going to value shares or sell shares down the track, what happens in the death of a shareholder, any dispute resolution. Get that stuff all sorted out, shareholders agreement, put it in the bottom drawer, and most likely you don't need to pull it out. I think it's crucial that you get all that stuff done up front. If you do it up front, you're most likely not going to need it down the track. Okay. Second point, grow. So now we've sown the seed. Growing is about getting the best out of the partnership you've got right now. So once it's set up, how do we grow it so that it gives us the best results, both time, money, and lifestyle-wise? Well, it's funny, actually, because the same stuff that it takes to grow a great business, whether you own it yourself or own it with a business partner, it's all the same stuff. There's nothing particularly new. There might be a few subtle differences, which I'll share, but it's all the same stuff. Getting the right team, getting your systems in place, having accountabilities, measuring stuff is huge. I just think it's even more important when you've got a business partner because you've got other responsibilities, other people involved. So here's a few tips that I find will make it helpful and work better. What's your communication rhythm? So if you have shareholders, it's really important that you have a regular meeting for the shareholders. Okay, to talk about shareholder issues. Now, it might be monthly, it might be 2 monthly, it's fine, but it needs to be regular and it's important that you stick to that. So that ensures you can keep the communication channels open. So communication rhythm for meeting as shareholders is important. Clear rules. So look, most business partnerships, as I said, you're also an employee. And you know, that's a separate role from being a shareholder. So to get the best out of your team, there's a bunch of stuff that we have, the normal stuff. Have we got clear job descriptions? I think this is critical for husbands and wives as well. Who's responsible for what? Have we got KPIs that define the success of the roles, what it looks like? Do we have weekly checklists to ensure everything gets done? Just the normal stuff. Have you got your weekly office checklist or office checklist for your ops manager or whoever it is who might be involved in the partnership? And do you have clear rules around salaries? So normally your wages should be based on the role you do. For instance, if you're the GM and your business partner is the operations manager, well, most often a GM is actually paid a bit more than an operations manager on a for salary. So that might be the case as an employee, but you share the profits in the business. Now, we have another whole webinar on how to actually sort out your job descriptions and structure them. I think that's how to set up your office for success or how to create a high-performing team. Both of those talk about that, doing your task analysis, etc. So I'm not going to go into all of that today. But in a partnership, that stuff is even more important to have it all mapped out. Keeping a united front. So sticking together. Is huge. You don't want people playing mum and dad off against each other. Now, it's fine to disagree, but I think it's important you do that behind closed doors so that you've got each other's back. Because if you start banging off each other or making decisions which possibly need to be shared or talked through, that will start to lead to cracks down the track. So united front is critical, and that's part of making that part of your rules. We'll stick together as well. That kind of relates to the next one, one boss. Now, this is an interesting one. Having one boss is actually like it's a pretty traditional sort of management idea, so that there's one person who's ultimately responsible for things happening. Otherwise, if there's two or three, it's very easy for things to fall through the cracks. So I think it's kind of a good idea to have a general manager or, manager who is kind of the face of things, who people can come to. But that doesn't mean to say that they just make all the decisions, because those decisions probably need to be made together and then they can help communicate them. So I really think about having one boss, who's the kind of the face of the business, and then working together, and that person can communicate your decisions to the team or to people outside the business as well. And that might change. You might want to swap that around. That's fine. But call it unity of command is a good idea. And if you think in a kind of a military situation, if you don't have one commander, it can get a bit chaotic. Obviously, the next one is honesty and integrity. We've talked about that. It's pretty simple, but very difficult sometimes. So short-term pain, being honest and upfront, is much better than the long-term pain of the relationship breaking down. Not much more to say about that. For husbands and wives, there's a few things that I think are critical. So if you're husband and wife team, this will hopefully be helpful. We tried to find a photo of a husband and wife. We could only find these young fellas. They probably look a bit young, but anyway. I think it's really, really helpful if you can have an office outside of the home. So most of you have got offices, but if you haven't, if you can get something outside of home or something that's kind of separate, not in your living area, is a great idea because that gives you some separation. Just the same as it's helpful if you're not in a partnership, if you can have some separation. Next thing is, look, is one party in this business under any duress? So if one of the, for instance, the wife's come on board to help in the office, she's not really that keen, he's only really doing it because she knows it's going to be a help, that can be okay in the short term, but you know, if it's not really your bag, then it's probably not a great idea in the long term because you'll get frustrated, maybe feel resentful. It would be better to get someone else in to help. And this is probably the most important thing. Having the right skills is critical. So you need the capability to do the job. And just because you're married to someone doesn't mean you necessarily have the skills. And you need to be honest about that. It might be just too hard. It might take you too long to learn or whatever. That does require some honesty. The next one is probably one of the biggest, and it's capacity. So often it's wives who will help in the office. They also have family responsibilities often or some other responsibilities, maybe another job that they're doing as well. So either a full-time or part-time job, and this often happens, and some help is needed in the office. And frankly, they just don't have time to do what needs to be done. There is not enough time that's been put aside to do what needs to happen. For instance, if you take school holidays, if you have family, that's basically 6 to 12 weeks a year that are out. That's almost 25% of the year that's gone. And then if you're working in school hours, that's only 5 hours a week. So you're probably down to about 50% of a full-time role. And you may just not have enough time. And what happens in that situation, the work piles up. You get frustrated and stressed because you can't keep on top of things. Your husband or partner is frustrated because they don't feel supported and things aren't happening that they thought would happen, and it can create an icky situation. So you've got to be really honest about capacity. And this is a problem not just for husbands and wives, it's just for running a business in general, to be honest. Not enough help in the office. Lastly, number one, having one office person is obviously can be tricky because you're relying on them. So if your wife is a key office person or husband is the key office person and you're the key operations person, what happens when you want to go on holiday? Does the business fall to bits? It can be a double whammy effect. So that's something to think about as well. Okay. And lastly, you better hurry up. So we want to get to James and Tanya. Vision and values. This will change. It's very important in your partnership to look at this, I think, annually. And I know James and Martin and David did their strategic planning exercise a few weeks ago, so it's a great thing to do with your partners. Because your circumstances can change personally, family circumstances, financials. You may need to be wanting to buy a new house or need some more money out of the business. Your interests might change. Your stage of life could change. You get a bit older, you're thinking about succession planning. How does that affect the partnership? So all the time, have a look back to at least once a year. The vision you've got, does that match up with the other people in the business? Have any of your values change? Because that can obviously impact on the relationship. Lastly, harvest. Exit. So the ideal situation is that you've worked this partnership. You've sown the seeds. You've worked it through the time that it's been together. And then you can sell your shares or sell the business, and the end game is positive for everyone. In some situations, the partnership will need to change for one partner moving on, retiring, or wanting out. And that's where the rules that you've set up at the start come into play. So you play by those rules, and everyone knows what's expected. There's no surprises, and that's just the way it is. Okay. So what I'd like to do now is just bring James and Tanya on board. And they're just going to share some of their experiences. I've got a few questions for them about being in a partnership. And if you've got any questions for them as well, we can do that. So just stand by while I get myself organized here. All right, James, Tanya, can you hear me?
Okay.
Yep.
Happy days. Have you got your video camera? Does that come up?
Yep.
Cool. Okay. I'll just check in with Nick that everyone can see you guys as well. Just stand by. Cool. Okay, team. So, hey, thanks for coming on board. James and Tanya in our boardroom program. I got a really successful business in the Sunny Bay of Plenty. So just had a few questions for your team and just be really keen to hear your ideas about partnerships, if that's okay.
Yep, thanks.
Cool. So can you guys explain the structure of your business and how it's set up from a from an ownership perspective as well?
I'm the sole director of the company.
Yep.
Tanya and I are both shareholders.
Yep.
All our shares are held in trust.
Yep.
We have Simon, who is a shareholder of the company as well. Yep. So we structure his the same way as well.
Yep.
So his shares will be held in trust as well. So it protects all shareholders within the company.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. And just tell us a little bit about the business in general, guys, so everyone understands the type of setup you've got in terms of how much team you've got and all that sort of stuff.
So we've got a team of 29, 30, somewhere around there. So I have four managers. One, Simon, taking care of the commercial. Lance is on the drainage. Trevor is new homes. And yep. Mark is all maintenance and gas.
Sweet.
And okay, then we have three office girls.
Awesome. So just explain how the two of you work together in the business as a husband and wife team. You know, roles, responsibilities, etc.
Well, we work very independent. We don't have the same roles. I look after all the accounts and marketing, and Tanya's main role is implementing systems and keeping our systems up to date. So our roles are both working on the company, basically. We don't do any day-to-day running.
Okay, awesome. So what was the process that you followed to bring your partner into the business, so Simon? So he's a minority shareholder, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep. So what was the process that you went through? How did that go, et cetera, so people understand?
I think the main reason why we wanted a partner in the business is it's a very lonely place. And Simon brought a different aspect to what I bring to the business, and we get on really well together. So it was a no-brainer. Plus, it opened up an exit strategy for us as well.
Okay. So just tell us a little bit more about what he bought versus what you had.
Simon's a very good communication with people, and people really love them.
Yep.
It's when you're stuck in a business that becomes you can feel like you're drowning.
Yep.
And that side of it suffers. Yep. And he brought that side of the business.
Cool.
But he could take care of that when I didn't feel, you're not always up to it, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay. And what was the process in terms of getting him on board? Did he buy in? How did you value shares? All that sort of stuff.
First of all, we set the seed with him and see if there was something that he was interested in.
Yep.
And started talking on that line. From there, we talked to our accountant and solicitors at the same time. And as for buying in, they definitely buy in, so he's definitely got skin in the game.
Sure, so he's put money into the business.
Yeah, and the paperwork, like which you've already gone through, Tony, we did the shareholding agreement, it's really covered off, it's very thorough, and from that day we've never looked at it, and never had to.
Yeah, it's in the bottom drawer. Okay.
Yep.
So what's the I guess the benefits that you've seen? You've certainly talked about some of them, about having obviously working as a husband and wife and also having some partners in the business. What have you seen the benefits for you guys?
I think you did cover them before really well, but huge one for everyone.
It's just a bit hard to hear, Tanya, if you just lean in a little bit.
Yeah, the trust, big one,
yep.
And knowing that our partners, you know, we've got each other's back 100% of the time. And also the big thing is someone running the day-to-day stuff so that we don't have to.
Someone running the day-to-day stuff has been very helpful for you guys?
Well, it means that we can then get on with working on the business.
So that means you can work more on the business, and that's freed you up. You've got some trust that someone's got their eye on the ball.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yep. Okay. So what suggestions would you have for other people, maybe who've got business partners or are thinking of getting a business partner involved? What, you know, in terms of making it work as best as it can?
I believe you really got to spend an amount of time with them before you jump into bed with them. That's real. Simon was our first apprentice boy, so I'd known Simon for 10 years. So we get to know them really well. I'd say 90 days and offering shares up front and everything straight out would be not a great idea. You really need to have at least a... And for us, and I've told the other managers, if they want to buy into the business, they've got to be in those roles for 2 years before they get that opportunity to do it. And with the results coming.
Sure. So it's like an extended interview process.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of once you've had Simon on board or had a partner on board, what are some of the lessons you've learned about getting the best out of that relationship? Because I know it's not always, you know, simple. It's like every relationship, it has its challenges. So what have you learned, lessons learned, perhaps things you might, you know, do differently moving forward so that it's a better result for all of you?
A big one was having the insurance that you mentioned before.
Tanya, we can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Was having the insurance...
Yep.
Sorted, yep. You know, if something happened to one of you.
Huge.
Yeah.
So what sort of insurances have you got sorted out?
If something happens to me, Simon, with the insurance that he's got over us, he would be able to buy the business out, and Tanya would be, she would have that option of not having anything to do with the business, if that's what he's
told. James, now I can't hear you, mate. So you said you've got the insurance sorted out so that if one of either of you went, you were incapacitated, then the insurance covers there so that the business can carry on, either buy each other out or have the funds to carry on.
Absolutely, yep.
Awesome, okay.
Yep.
One of the things that I think we've talked about, and obviously James, we've talked about this a bit, is Simon's a great guy, but he hadn't had all the experiences that you'd had. So was one of the things that you mentioned, that it's really important that as a business owner, you go on a journey, but if you bring people in, you've got to actually take them on that same journey.
Yes. Yeah, that one's... always hard, but I think that along that line, that one thing that we do very well is we're always very honest.
Yep.
With them. If we've got a problem, we're just straight into it, knock it on the head, and it's gone straight away, not like that. Never let anything fester away or anything.
Yep.
And he's very appreciative of that fact as well.
Yep.
You don't know if you're doing something wrong unless someone tells you.
Sure.
Otherwise.
How have you found it changing the mindset? Obviously, you've gone through the process of changing from being thinking like a tradesperson to a business owner. What have you done to help your shareholders go from thinking like tradespeople to thinking more like shareholders and business owners?
I involve Simon in the figures as well. I involve them in exactly what it takes to actually run a business and what it looks like from our side of things. So he can, he's got input and he's got involvement right through the whole business. He, even though he's not in charge of accounts, he can see exactly what's happening, where the money's getting made, where we lose money, and right through the whole business. Very transparent.
Yeah. So you share all the GPs, all the sales figures, et cetera, and they have targets. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Now, team, what suggestions would you have for husband and wife teams in business?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. More importantly, can James hear you?
You know, a really critical thing for us is seeing a business as not being us. We aren't the business. James and I aren't the business. It's a separate thing from us.
Yep.
But we also need to love it as if it is a child, sort of. I know that sounds a bit strange, but when you don't love it, then, and you're not talking fondly of it, then there comes a blame thing when it's not performing. But sure. We have to step back and take responsibility that, you know, that it's functioning because of how we are or aren't functioning. So, yeah, critical to have the, see the business as separate.
Massive.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
But you have to love it.
And the other thing, you have to love it. Yeah. And the other thing is, but you've already mentioned it, and we were talking about this, was having a common goal, a common vision. And for us, what works in our business is seeing our culture as being the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because, and everything filters from there. So that's what we work on. How do we work on that? How do we nurture that? Yep. Yes, there's other stuff to do, but that's key for us.
Massive. Yeah, I know you put a lot of effort in there. Huge. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts from your end, James, about husbands and wives working together?
Well, Tani's been part of, she come on board really in the business in the last 6 or 7 years. And I always believe in surrounding myself with successful people.
That's nice.
And my accountant was a big one on saying you've got to get your wife involved, because most business in New Zealand, the most successful ones are partnership ones with the wives. And it's great. We do talk about work outside of work, but it's good that we can talk about the same thing outside work. It's not me telling her something, Tanya, that she doesn't know about. And we actually do find lately we talk probably less and less about the business outside of it, because we don't have an office at home for work.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to add to that when we do talk about it, that we really take pains to talk about it fondly and solution-based.
Yeah.
It's, otherwise, you just end up in this complaining, moaning, blaming. And, you know, it's hard to step out of that.
Massive. Yeah, it feeds itself, for sure. Great advice. I appreciate that, guys. Look, if you've got any other thoughts, I'd love to hear them. And if anyone's got questions that they would like to ask myself or James and Tanya about partnerships or working with your spouse or significant other, then please just pop them down and we'll do our best to answer them. Mandy said, why did you put your shares in a trust?
Oh, just protects us. Like, I'm the sole director, but I've got very little shares of my own one. So if someone come after us through the company, something happened, our share, our private life, everything else is still protected.
So what James and Tanya have done is you have a trust which owns shares. Your business partner has another trust that owns shares, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's not a trust that owns the shares in common.
No.
It's about protection.
It's individual trust. Simon's got his own trust. We've got our own trust.
Yeah, exactly. Who values the business / the shares?
Our accountant valued the business.
Yeah.
And it's very important. That is a good question, because you need to, if you bring in more shareholders over time as well, you need to have that written down, how the business was actually valued in the first place, because you need the same formula going forward.
That's right. So everyone knows what the situation is.
Yep.
Massive. Yep. And there's a bit of haggling and stuff that goes on initially, and it can feel a little bit awkward, for sure. But it's something that you just have to go through, right?
You put a lot of hard work into it. If you're going to sell it for nothing, it's why did you do it for in the first place?
Exactly. So Tamanu said it was awesome, especially about Simon coming on board and the 2-year stand down before offering shares. So Johnny's asked, what percentage of shares did you offer to Simon? I mean, you don't have to answer that if you don't want to, or you can message Johnny. That's up to us.
No, it's pretty well, we keep everything transparent. It's 10%.
Yep, cool. Awesome. Okay.
But that's not to say that that can't grow.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Okay. And did Simon put skin in the game? Yes, he did.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And there's different ways you can structure this. I know that I think Dave's on the call from Klein Benny, so they have a couple of sort of major shareholders and a minority shareholders. I think there's 3 shareholders in that business. Graham and Nigel are, I think, equal shareholders. So there's lots of ways you can do that. And part of your plan was to set up as perhaps a succession planning exercise as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, otherwise, what's the point of growing a business? You get to the stage where if you can't sell it, but you keep on putting all your money into it, there's no point in doing it in the first place. So that's one reason why we have managers as well.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So in terms of succession, I just thought I'd share a quick story. A member of has been through the program, I don't want to name at the moment, they were looking to exit the business. Had a successful business. They had someone that they'd known for a long time who was in the industry, who was the generation below. And they joked about getting into business. So they did get into business. That person had the option to buy 50% of the share, well, 25% the first year, 25% the next year, which they did. And then there was a relationship to sell the remainder of the shares under a negotiation from that point, which has been hugely helpful for the guy looking to sell. He's still in the business. They're still 50-50 shareholders. He's still getting a great income. He's providing the leadership and the mentorship to the guy coming through. The guy coming through has already increased the value of the business, so everyone's a winner. Can work really well in that kind of perspective as well. Sometimes you need to grow the buyer of your business.